Hello and welcome to Away, Indigenous Culture, here on RN. Daniel Browning with you. You can't keep a good woman down. Emma Donovan is back with a new soul music adventure, and she's got company, The Putbacks, an insanely talented rhythm combo from Melbourne.
What do you got for me?
And we'll be joined by the new star of the latest incarnation of The Lion King, singer-songwriter turned dramatic actor Rob Collins. But first, join me in the Away TARDIS as we remember the 1965 Freedom Ride, 50 years ago this week. In 1965, a young Charles Perkins led the Freedom Ride through racially segregated parts of western New South Wales, places like Moree and Walgett. In this mashup from the Away archives, we kick off with an observational documentary by the ABC's John Cassidy, and it's a startling record of the time. Then we'll skate forward to 1995, when Away's Lorena Allen went back to the communities to meet some of the people at the centre of those extraordinary events.
The 30 students were setting out on a 2,000-mile tour of country towns in New South Wales to investigate the living conditions of Aborigines and to take action where it was appropriate.
I'd like to suggest that we don't just run in there and leave 6 hours later. I know there could be a lot of danger in stopping overnight in the town, but according to how we sort of assess the situation, I think we should go for something like a 12-hour picket or a 24-hour picket of the pool.
I think that we're going to find a lot of hostility on the part of the white people.
You've been walking past them all day, criticising your own colour. That's how good the whites are in Walgett. Criticising your own colour. It hurts you white people in Walgett to see the whites from Sydney up here. And do that to you, doesn't it? Trouble is, it is hurting the whites to see other whites fighting for the blacks.
With average summer temperatures always high, the Olympic pool is a popular spot.
Moree is very proud of its artesian baths. In 1965, under a council ordinance, Aborigines weren't allowed to swim there. But the colour bar at the pool was a symptom of a much bigger issue. Lyle Munro, the region's ATSIC commissioner, explains.
There was a peer system in those days that if you were born into the rich family and who you were, etc., the old peer system, if they were struggling, they'd include gangs off the railway, they'd include small businesses, people that didn't fit in society, but virtually they were told what to do and what not to do.
Edna Craigie was raising a young family at the time the Freedom Bus came through. She too recalls the rigid class system in place at the time.
We knew where we stood, and we stayed in that position. We didn't go out and try and disrupt it in any way. We just did it, went along with everything that was said and done in the town.
About midday, a lot of people will be pretty drunk, and a lot of people will be pretty steamed up. So Saturday night's a very, very dangerous night.
The only good one's a dead one.
The only good what is a dead one?
Black or white.
The only good what is a dead one? We want our tourist attraction. We don't want to hand it over to the black fellas.
And as far as I'm concerned, run the lot of them's clean out of swim pool.
What, all the Aborigines?
Every one of them.
And the university
as well.
They're the ones that caused the trouble in
That's
this town.
Sure. Run them out and they'll be
put them out of town.
Get them out before night.
Move real quick or go out in a stretcher.
There'll be a blue one for sure if it keeps going.
All the big rockers will be around.
All the big rockers will be around. And they'll hunt them out.
What are they going to do?
Well, they might punch him in the head.
They should tar and feather him and put him out there at the town.
Hey. 30 students with placards wouldn't have made much impact in Sydney or Melbourne, but in Walgett, they managed to split the town.
A small group come up from, you know nothing about them for a start.
He got it turned on, he?
I don't, couldn't care whether he had it turned on or not.
He good on you, Sass, you give it up.
You've got, come up there and you've got... Yeah, you've got nothing to do around the place, but you've got plenty of money back in town. Go back and get it. But don't come around these places.
There were a few scuffles, but the presence of the police ensured that most of the hostility was confined to words.
I'm black and I'm proud of it, and I uphold it too. I'm not ashamed to walk around the street, and what I've got to do, I get out and I open and do it. Didn't have to see anything anyhow. You could be blind, you'd hear enough.
You just have a look in our bus, and everybody except me is a white person. And everybody's in the bus.
Anyhow, the colour is only skin deep.
Where do you come from, boy?
Everybody's the same. Black and white.
Everybody in the bus is the same. They all feel the
same. Only then because they've got white skin as they hold their head up in the air and they get around as if they own everything.
And as far as I'm concerned, run the lot of them clean out of swim pool.
What, all the Aborigines?
Every one of them.
And the university students
as well.
They're the ones that caused the trouble in this town.
Run them out and they'll be
put them out of town.
Alan Swan grew up on Thompson's Row, one of Moree's three missions, and life for him was vastly different.
We were never allowed uptown. If you go uptown, you get hunted on. The police used to drive around in their vans and chase us up and down the rivers like dogs and cattle we were. We had no freedom at all, not with the police or anyone else. And as far as the bars and shops are concerned, we'd barred at a lot of them. There's only two cafes we could walk into and have a drink in Moree. All the rest used to bar us.
One bloke here who had come back from court. I think he had 23...
Getting ahead in life won't be easy for this boy. He was born an Aborigine, and this is where he lives.
Coonamble is next door to Walgett, which means it's only 2 hours down the road. Coonamble is where most of my family live, and in some ways it's the hardest place to go digging up the past. But for the old people, it's a chance to reminisce.
I think it really got true to the white people that there was no future in segregation. I think that they realised they'd have to accept assimilation, and the start of those three homes were the beginning of better conditions.
In each of the towns the Freedom Riders visited, one place became the focus for the protest, the pool, the RSL club. In Coonamble, it was the Plaza Picture Hall. Jeannie, Thelma and Ron remember the protest very differently, even though they were all at the plaza when one of the young students tried to enlist their help.
He asked Billy, my brother, to go upstairs. We got our tickets. Anyway, we went down to the bottom and some of them said, oh, there's a bit of a do out the front there, they having an argument or something. And we went out and it was Billy. Billy was amongst them, see. And he's supposed to pay for his seat. He said, I got a seat upstairs. He said, but I'm not allowed to go in. And Mr. Wall, he was the manager, he said, no, Aboriginals are allowed upstairs. And he said, why? He said, I paid my money. He said, my money's just the same as a white person. And he wouldn't have it. Anyway, this person, whoever it was, I can't think now, but whoever it was got him into the wash name. But when he got him in, he said, I don't want to sit in there now. He said, I just want to know whether I could go in or not. He said, just to see whether I could be sociable enough to go in there too.
To prove a point, my husband and I, we went upstairs and sat there. The only reason that we weren't allowed there, is that nobody had the money to sit in the seats because they were dearer than the hard ones. Probably they might have had this happen in other towns, but as far as I know, it never happened here.
Carload came up, and I'm quite certain that they were communist. Agitators. So I went over to the plaza that night and I think there was four men, I don't remember any women amongst them, but two of them, one a middle-aged man, another chap, he got two teenage Aborigine girls. They went up to the ticket office and asked for four tickets upstairs and they were given the tickets without any argument. And that sort of upset their plan because they wanted to put on a blue if they were refused. Anyhow, the elderly chap got down in front of the players and he was really laying it on. And the chap got too much for one chap. He walked in and he knocked him down. And I just said, well, mate, what you just got now will be nothing to what you'll get if you come back again. I don't know. I heard that the car was knocked about or something. I can't verify that. But I did advise him to get out of town, and he left, and we never heard any more from him. They never ever came back near Canamble.
Give our regards to the RSL, eh?
From 1965 to 1995, a mashup from the Away archives. You heard recordings of the original Freedom Ride in 1965 by the ABC's John Cassidy. And then in 1995 by Away's Lorena Allam, a program called More Things Change. And the 50th anniversary of the Freedom Ride is being marked by a reenactment.